Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the program, and we thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good day.
All right, folks, we had a wonderful share-a-thon last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tremendous response. I think it was a record. Record in terms of the total amount raised, and then record in which was close to $3 million. And then the record also in terms of, which was even more edifying to me, the number of people who made a pledge.
Yes.
Over 16,000.
That's great.
I think the previous record was somewhere between 13 and 14.
Right. It was a big jump. Mm-hmm. We're grateful to the Lord for that.
Amen.
And we're grateful to the people who stand with us. Yes. That was the theme of our share-a-thon, was standing shoulder to shoulder, mm-hmm. and we really felt that here as people pledged to support AFR.
Amen. You know, and it's also nice to not have to always ask for money.
Right.
Yeah. Huh?
3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall, and that's it.
Yeah.
On the air.
I don't think I could work for an organization that, you know what I'm saying, that all is asking for money all the time.
If you're tuning in to the radio,
right,
you're tuning in to hear something, and it's not asking for money all the time.
Right. Right. Well, so we're not asking for money all the time. We're only asking in three days in the spring, 3 days in the fall, and folks responded overwhelmingly, and we give God the glory, and we thank you folks for doing that as well. Okay, so, Greg, good morning to you again.
Good morning. It was not a good night, and it's not a good day for a lot of folks in our listening area. We have stations, for instance, north of Dallas. We have stations in Arkansas, parts of Missouri. And that big front that's been moving through, and last night in Dallas, and still feeling the effects this morning, tornado in Dallas, just about 9 miles north of the main core of the city of Dallas, and a lot of damage. I was looking, there was a Home Depot totally destroyed. Fortunately, they had sent the staff home early, which was great. So no loss of life reported there. However, in Rogers, Arkansas, it's northwest Arkansas, about 150 miles northwest of Little Rock. We do have one confirmed fatality there because of the storm. And same kind of system passing through Oklahoma and Missouri as well. So still about 100,000 people in the Dallas area without electricity. And I understand the morning commute, absolutely horrific in parts of Dallas because trees down, just wires, all of that sort of thing. So a bad day, and that front continues to move now across. It's going to go through Mississippi, parts of Tennessee, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a bad one. Cooler weather in behind, but one person lost their life so far.
I texted my sister who lives in Dallas area. Unfortunately, she was north of the tornado. But you know what I'm always very impressed with is the power companies.
Mm.
They do just a superb job.
Yes.
Sometimes you have these horrific hurricanes that just devastate areas and people are without power for a long time. But these power companies, they really get out there, get those trees cut down, power lines put back up. They do a super job under very difficult conditions. So good work on them.
I didn't realize. So, back in the old days, prior to the Doppler radar system, Doppler radar, I don't know what you call it, system or whatever.
Just technology.
And these computer models that they have where they can pinpoint where storms are going to hit. Almost, it's amazing what they can do. But prior to that, you would have something like this in a very populated area like this, you'd have probably had, who knows, dozens or hundreds of deaths.
Well, we've all watched our local weather teams. And real bad storms, they'll have that Doppler radar up, and they will be pointing at this area right. and saying, right here on highway, such right. and such, looks like we got some rotation there. You may want to mm-hmm. get to your safe place. And, you know, that's pretty good heads up for folks.
That's right.
If you can
thank God for that.
Yeah. Back in the old days, you just went in the cellar.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's right.
We're in the storm cellar mm-hmm. because my granddad would say a cloud's coming up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
you really would. I mean, I don't know if you – do you guys remember doing this?
Well, we didn't – I grew up in New England. We didn't have tornadoes.
Well, we had – I remember this would have been late 60s. I remember – and a lot of people listening to me right now can identify with this, especially people who grew up in the heartland, the Midwest, or the Southeast, which is the predominant area for tornadoes. Mm-hmm. I remember going to the basement of one of our relatives several times, and then also to a storm cellar.
Which is in the side of a hill
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, side of a hill.
Yeah, you still see those around.
Yeah, yes. And I actually, looking back, think it was more dangerous to go in there with the spiders and potential snakes.
Yes.
Because you go in there once a year, twice a year maybe.
Right.
I think that was probably more risky than taking a chance with the tornado.
Well, plus, I never really understood how you have to walk outside in a storm to the storm cellar.
Yeah.
And I know from watching that, what was that documentary, Wizard of Oz? You remember how Dorothy just got scooped up
yeah.
when everyone else went to the storm cellar. You guys ever see that documentary?
Yeah, we saw that documentary. And I know what you're talking about.
Really got wild yeah. after her house landed, but I'm telling yeah. you, that storm was scary.
Yeah, we probably need to talk during the break about that documentary. All right, so before Fred dives into other news of the day, you want to tell folks how they can watch the show on the internet?
Yes, you can.
Whatever.
Yeah, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and type in today's issues, and then you can click through. You get directions, and then you can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube. So you not only hear us, but you see our smiling faces. Well, we smile sometimes. Usually when we
and
have
the whole
some good
world
news.
Smiles back at you.
Yes, that's huh? That's right.
All right, Fred. You got a big day in Canada, right, though?
Big day in Canada yeah. is a federal election up there. And if you believe the polls, it's very close between the capital L Liberal Party. There are two main parties up there, are Liberal and Conservative.
Well, they simplify things up there,
they
don't
they? Really simplify things. So capital L Liberals, right now the Prime Minister up there is Justin Trudeau. And yes, he is the son of former Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau, who was a far lefty too,
yes,
along with being prime minister of the Liberal Party. The Conservatives have been doing well. Now, Justin Trudeau, he's just finishing up his first term. If he loses today, he's unseated as prime minister by Andrew Scheer, who is the head of the capital C Conservative Party. That'll be quite historic that a prime minister is defeated after just one term in office. The polls have been very close. What they're pointing to is likely either minority Liberal government or a minority Conservative government. Now, unlike here in the United States, where you have two main parties, they have about five parties up there. They have.
Which one do you go to when you're up there? Oh, you mean political
I like the pizza party myself.
Yeah, the pizza party, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So you've got the Liberals and the Conservatives, two main ones, but then you have a party called the New Democratic Party, NDP, and they are slightly more liberal than the Liberal Party.
Wow.
Okay? That's where we are. And then they have the Green Party, which has one or two members in Parliament. All right?
I'm sorry.
So here's what the prediction is right now. Andrew Scheer could become the next Prime Minister of Canada. He's very conservative, Roman Catholic man, lives according to his faith, has a large family, five kids. I think they're all under 14 years of age.
Yeah.
Fairly young man. But he may not get enough seats in Parliament to make a majority. In other words, if he becomes Prime Minister, the NDP and the Liberals could get together and defeat anything that the Conservatives try to do.
Right.
Likewise, if the Liberals win, if Justin Trudeau is voted back in as prime minister, then it's possible that Andrew Scheer could get together on some points with the NDP, and they could defeat in a vote the Liberal Party. So minority is not what anybody wants, but it's if you believe the polls, that's the way it's headed.
I'm looking online, and it says too close to call, one of the closest elections in history in Canada.
Now, what has happened, the reason why Justin Trudeau is in trouble, he has managed to disturb both sides of the political spectrum, all right? He is all in on signing international treaties on global warming. But at the same time, he has allowed a pipeline or has given the green light to a pipeline to be built from Alberta to the West Coast. The other thing that he's run into, he basically fired the country's attorney general because the attorney general was investigating him for helping a big company in his hometown of Montreal avoid prosecution.
And because Joe Biden demanded it.
That's right. That's right. So he's faced those problems and a multitude of some other minor things. But so we're going to be watching that very closely to see what happens there, and we'll talk more about the results tomorrow morning.
The blackface thing, did that hurt him?
Kind of a scandal?
That's another ingredient. Back years ago when he was a teacher, a school teacher in Vancouver, he went to some parties as a blackface. He also went to a party, an Arabian Nights.
Some people may not know what that means.
Okay, blackface is where the face is painted black to
you're imitating
a black person. He also, I think, went to some Arabian Night parties in which he
in that case, it was brownface.
He's brownface. And so,
oh, he did both?
Yes, he's caught flack for both.
Now, I'm just going to say, I think, because this was back in the 90s or something when I keep wanting to say 70s when he was a young man, but he really is a younger man. He's in the 90s. You know, those are the kind of things I think, even though he's liberal and would love to see a conservative win in Canada, I just think you should apologize for those things because most people didn't realize how offensive that was back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You apologize, you crawl, barefoot on broken glass or whatever you have to do to make sure everyone knows you feel badly. But then you just say, listen, I don't do it anymore.
I would be fine with that if long as the woke crowd applies the same standards to themselves that they apply to others. Right?
Point taken. You have to be able to say, we're not getting Trudeau a pass.
Right.
Because he's liberal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. If a conservative did that when they were in high school or college, then we need to be willing just to accept their apology and forgive them and move on as well.
People have just grown a little bit more sensitive about how other people feel. And I can certainly see because blackface was used to in some cases was used to mock
black
back
people.
In
the 40s,
yeah, back
50s,
in the 30s
and
40s and that was actually before black people were allowed on television.
If you're doing Arabian Nights, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to go as a white
Prince
Arabian? He felt like he had to put some makeup on, right?
Yeah.
Be a brown.
Yeah. And then
if
you don't do that, now you're cultural appropriation.
Now
you're in trouble for that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just stick with being yourself.
Right.
Right.
Or go as a Bible character, which is essentially all dressed the same.
Or
you're
an
in a
animal.
Robe
you can go as an animal.
Sandals.
One of Noah's Ark's animals. Everybody's, you're safe with that. I think. Don't you think so?
You wear sandals, a robe, and hold a staff, and you're almost
good?
Every Bible character in the book.
You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. So we'll follow that. That's what amounts to a presidential election in Canada today.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what happens. Now the pipeline. So he's overseeing a pipeline of fossil fuels.
Yes. Yeah. Even though he's big on the green plan,
he's also big on money.
He's also, there's a lot of Albert.
Is this oil or natural gas? Do you know?
I think it's probably natural gas.
Okay.
To move through that pipeline, but. You know, there's a pile of people who say, look, we got all this natural gas in the ground here.
Yeah.
And we can sell it and make a whole pile of money.
Yeah. Money.
But then you've got various groups on the West Coast, you know, on the Pacific there, who say, we don't want that running through our town or through our village because it might explode someday and create a whole lot of problems.
So there's more than one green plan that Trudeau is paying attention to. There's the environmentalist green plan, and then there's that money green plan.
Yeah.
So
I don't even know if
Canada's, I think he's wearing a green face next.
I don't even know if Canada's money green like ours, or are they?
No, multicolored.
$5
bill is nice blue.
Multicolored.
Yeah, multicolored money.
I'd like to open up my wallet and see multiple colors in there.
Well, I'm sure it makes it easy when you pull, you know what you're pulling out?
Yeah.
Just by the color.
All right.
Yep.
Next story, Fred.
Have you heard of Hillary Clinton?
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Maybe we have.
Yeah. She is the politician who refuses to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And she's created some new controversy. You talk about a family feud going on. This is internal Democrat. She's not picking on Donald Trump. She's picking on Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, who is a presidential candidate.
Right.
So Hillary Clinton was on a Democrat podcast the other day, I think it was, and this is the first time I heard this, but she pulled this card out. Now, she did not mention Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard by name, but it has not been denied this is who she was referring to. She basically said that Gabbard is planning to run as a third-party candidate and says, Hillary says, she's a Russian asset. Here's Hillary Clinton, cut number 4.
I think they've got their eye on somebody who's currently in the Democratic primary and are grooming her to be the third party candidate. She's a favorite of the Russians. They have a bunch of sites and bots and other ways of supporting her so far. And that's assuming Jill Stein will give it up, which she might not because she's also a Russian asset.
Jill Stein is Green Party member, okay? Yeah. Just so you know who they're talking about. So basically what Hillary Clinton is saying is that the Russians are quietly getting behind Tulsi Gabbard so that she would steal votes away from Elizabeth Warren or whatever, and Donald Trump would be reelected again. That's what she's trying to say. Tulsi Gabbard is ex-military. She did not take this accusation lying down at all. She has responded strongly, and she explains to us what she thinks is behind Hillary's attack. Cut number 5.
People warned me in 2016 that my endorsement of Bernie Sanders would be the end of my quote-unquote political career. They said Clinton will never forget that she and her rich and powerful friends, her allies in politics and in the media, will make sure that you are destroyed. Well, there have been countless hit pieces full of smears against me from day one of this campaign. But if they can falsely portray me as a traitor, then they can do it to anyone. And in fact, that's exactly the message that they want to get across to you. That if you stand up against Hillary and the party power brokers, if you stand up to the rich and powerful elite and the war machine, they will destroy you and discredit your message.
So that's Tulsi Gabbard.
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah. Why do you think Hillary Clinton, she's trying to stay relevant here as a political commentator or something? Why does she care about somebody that has zero chance of winning the Democrat Party?
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to blow this too far out of proportion, because when Hillary Clinton was being interviewed, she was wearing a tinfoil hat. So I think that,
duly noted
that may mean that she would listen. That is one of the most paranoid things I've heard her say, and she is bordering on paranoia. She is, for some reason, so paranoid about Russian interference in this election, even though she and the Democrats actually did get Russians involved with the Steele dossier, trying to find a dirt on Donald Trump. But she wants people to believe that the Russians are behind Tulsi Gabbard so she can steal votes away from Elizabeth Warren.
Yep.
That would make for a great novel, I got to tell you. Huh?
That's,
I mean, that would,
she's getting in the
it?
Bizarro world here.
Yeah.
She can't, I don't understand how she thinks she can be taken seriously. Because, as you said, Tulsi Gabbard is,
She has zero chance of being a Democrat
nominee,
and Hillary Clinton's worried about her being a Russian agent.
But Tulsi Gabbard says that this is what you do if you go against the Clinton machine. This is the kind of treatment you get. But I got to say, the Clinton
or
machine.
Or worse.
That's
all I'll say about
that.
Yeah,
that's all I have to say
well,
about
that. Well, and also, I mean, it goes back to the bitterness of 4 years ago. Where Gabbard, you know, you remember the whole controversy. The DNC, Gabbard said, was behind Hillary.
They clearly were.
The party establishment was behind Hillary and against Bernie Sanders.
Right.
She endorses, Gabbard does, Bernie Sanders, and Hillary Clinton says, okay, you resulted in votes being taken away from me, and I'm not going to forget this. And here she is 4 years later.
Remember, that was the superdelegates.
Yes.
Virtually gave Hillary Clinton the nomination. Now, Bernie Sanders would have still come up a little bit short, but having those superdelegates waiting in the wings to end the actual race between Sanders and Clinton.
So with Hillary Clinton, we got, you know, it was old song from the 70s, Jokers to the left of me, Jokers to the right of me.
Yeah.
Okay, just Steeler's wheel. You have to look it up. Anyway, so with Hillary Clinton, it's Russians to the left of me, Russians to the right of me.
Yes, it's all
right?
Russians.
Because you got Russians with Trump and Russians with Gabbard.
Yeah.
And Sanders, I guess, is what she was saying.
Well, she apparently thinks that the Russians want Trump back in. And because that's the only reason why she lost. In her mind, it wasn't that she was a bad candidate, even though she will admit to maybe not doing everything she could have. She believes it was Russian interference that stopped her from becoming president, and she believes that it's going to be Russian interference that will get Trump reelected.
You remember just in the last 10 days or so, she was being interviewed, and Hillary Clinton said, was asked about, might she run again? She said, yes, and I would beat him again.
Again, yes.
Mm-hmm. You remember that comment?
Mm-hmm.
She needs therapy.
Yes, she does. And I hope when she gets a therapist, that it's a Russian. That would just be the best of all worlds when she walks in. Dr. Ivan? It's a Russian therapist. That'd be...
All right.
That's a Bob Newhart show storyline.
All right. Today's issues is what you're listening to. That's commentary by our comedian, Ed Vitagliano. That was good, Ed, right there.
Yeah.
I almost started laughing out loud. But this is a serious news show, and I can't do that right now.
Right, and I'm going to get serious.
Serious. So, moving forward, the tinfoil hat you said?
Tinfoil hat.
She's wearing a tinfoil hat.
Well, let's keep the aliens from reading her mind.
The aliens or the Russians. She threw the word bot in there.
They get the computer bots that will, you know.
What is that exactly?
It's the use of computers
to
generate, you know, a human being doesn't have to do the actual entry into a computer and click send. These bots, I think it's actually just software that uses computers to ramp, you know, to send out thousands of, you know, emails or text messages or what, even stories, making replies in the comments sections to articles, say, about Hillary
that's what bots
they
do?
And they do it by the thousands. So if you're ever looking at comments under a story, I guess you're just a bot.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a real person. You're just a programmed computer.
All right. Hey, Brian Fisher's going to be on with us momentarily. Brian obviously has his own program here each afternoon on American Family Radio, but he wrote a real interesting column in support of President Trump's decision to pull our troops out of Syria. A lot of conservatives, a lot of Christians have opposed President Trump on this issue. But Brian says he's right, and he'll tell us why when we get back from this time out. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you. Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examine.
As I've said before, more and more of the questions that we get on college campuses and even in churches are moral questions. In other words, morality is at the forefront, more so than, say, it was 10 or 15 years ago.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our tour of the Holy Land in March, one of the places we'll stop is called the House of Caiaphas. This is the place where Jesus experienced the mock trial in front of the Sanhedrin that you read about in the Bible before he was taken to Pilate. He was actually held there in that house. We go there. We visit there. We see where that was. And then right beside the house are steps that date back to the time of Christ. They're stone steps that date back to the time of Christ. Those were the very steps that Jesus walked from the Garden of Gethsemane as he was brought to this mock trial at the House of Caiaphas. That's just one of the places we'll visit in March on our Holy Land tour. For all the information on this March 12th through the 20th trip, go to twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ at liberty.edu/starnes.
There has been no end to the hatred and contempt the left has for President Trump. The latest example in the heart of New York City, Times Square. Devani, an athletic company that prides itself on being woke, posted a giant billboard depicting President Trump being hogtied by an angry female Marine Corps veteran in front of the White House. There are other photos in the campaign that depict the president being bound and gagged by surly-looking feminist gals. Yet another literal depiction of violence against a sitting president. Could you imagine the national outrage if Devani had depicted President Obama as being hogtied? They called the Times Square image Lady Liberty, and the model is a real-life Marine Corps veteran. I find it hard to believe a freedom-loving Marine would ever be part of such an un-American advertising campaign. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Good morning. Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Ed and Fred, and we thank you for listening to AFR. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. I think we have 7 seats left on our 2020 Israel trip, which is in March. So if you want to go, we're about full. So check out the itinerary, the cost, and anything you want to know just about the trip in March of 2020, right? 2020, yeah. Then go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com, twholyland.com. All the information is there. All right. We want to welcome to the program AFR's own Brian Fisher. Brian joins us from the great Northwest. Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim. Good to be with you.
You in Washington? You're in the state of Washington, right?
Yes. Yeah, the land of the rainforest people.
You know,
in a bunker of undisclosed location.
Yeah. You know, the community I'm living in, the latest initiative they're having is to be the host location for all of the homeless people in our part of Washington. And it's going to cost $1 million to do the paving and all the thing they can to set things up for all the homeless people in this part of the state to congregate. So I don't know. That's it looks like we're headed in the same direction as California out here.
Brian, I've got a friend and his wife, and I think they've got 5 kids, and they live in Linden, Washington, which is up near Bellingham.
Yep. Yes.
So if you put them with you and Debbie, that's 7 conservatives that I know of in Washington State.
Well, so, my sister.
You got to start somewhere.
My sister and brother-in-law live
up there.
They're conservative. Yes.
So that's 9?
Right. They live in Olympia.
9. You almost got enough for a little club there.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about the Washington State Legislature is the state is really divided into 2 halves. There's Seattle and King County, which is arch-liberal, and then the rest of the state largely is conservative.
Right.
You go kind of east, and you get into agricultural areas. So the state legislature is almost split 50-50, still a little bit of a Democrat majority, but not as bad as you might think.
Yeah. That's kind of the way it is in Oregon, too, right? Portland, basically, and then the rest of the state for the most part.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, talk about the conclusion you came to and how you came to it regarding President Trump's announcement, 10 days ago or so, to pull our troops out such that they were, 1,000 or so in Syria. Go ahead. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, I think people certainly can have different opinions on whether that was a good idea or a bad idea. I look at it from one standpoint. This is just a promise that Donald Trump made when he was campaigning for office. He promised to bring troops home from these interminable Middle East wars. People elected him in part on that promise. So this is not a betrayal in my judgment. This is simply a promise kept. And if you're going to bring troops home from the Middle East, I mean, you just have to do it. I mean, we really have no discernible interest in staying there, particularly in Syria. You know, President Obama was the one that took us into Syria, did it without any kind of authorization for the use of force. You know, when President Bush went into Iraq to deal with Saddam, he got the authorization for the use of force from the entire Congress. Well, President Obama didn't look for any of that. He just took us into Syria. Now we're in the middle of this hot war there with no real end in sight. So I think he made the right decision to come home. I think what we ought to do if we are going to continue to have a presence there and want to do what's right by the Christian people, because that was one of the big criticisms of his move, was we are abandoning the Kurds, and there are Christians among the Kurdish people. Well, again, I think the reality is if you're going to do something for Christians in the Muslim world that's so hostile to Christianity because of the influence of Islam, about all you can do is find some way to get the Christian population out of that Muslim country and to safety in the West. So that would be my suggestion for what we do for the Christian population. Sometimes we can go into a place and leave things worse for Christians than when we went in.
Yeah.
In Iraq, for instance, when we went into Iraq, there were 1.4 million Christians in the country of Iraq, and Saddam had a reason to protect the Christian population because they were the only honest, trustworthy people he could find to help him run his government. When we went in there and deposed him and left, now today there's only about 275,000 Christians in Iraq. So you have to take the long view at the end of the day, which of these is going to be best for the Christian community.
You can read Brian's column on our Facebook page. We just posted it. Today's Issues Facebook page, Brian's column, Brian Fisher's own, in support of President Trump. Ed, do you have a question for
us? Yeah, well, I just wanted to commend you, Brian, on this article. And I love the idea that you had, because you're exactly right about the Christians in Iraq. Many of them were murdered. But were forced out of their communities that they had lived in for generations.
You mean post-Saddam Hussein?
Yes, even during the Iraq war, but after that was completed, many of them forced to leave without being allowed to take their property, and they've had to leave, and the Christian population in Iraq has been devastated. But in your column, you said the only way that you think we should spend one more dollar or one more day in Syria or Turkey is an effort to provide a military corridor of escort and escape for every Christian who wants to leave. And frankly, those are the kind of refugees I would love to have come to this country, because they have lived the real Christian life, because their lives are at stake when they declare their Christianity. And boy, we could sure use some of that kind of dedication to Christ here in this country. So I'm all for those kinds of refugees coming here, Brian.
Well, you know, in our immigration policy used to be that you could come into the country if you had a sponsor. You had somebody here in the United States who was going to commit to taking care of you so you did not become a burden to the state. I think we would need to do the same thing in a case like this, and I would suggest what we do is we appeal to churches all across America to commit themselves to take in X number of these refugees from the Kurdish people, or wherever we happen to be bringing them in, who would commit to taking care of these people so they do not become a burden on the United States government. And then we could, I believe the Christian church would rise to that challenge. These people could get out of a place where their lives are constantly at risk and come to a place here in the West where we celebrate religious liberty.
All right, Brian, we encourage people to go and read your column there that we got posted, and listen to Focal Point each afternoon at 105 Central Time on American Family Radio. Thanks for joining us this morning, and may you go over double-digit conservatives there in Washington, by the end of the day, maybe.
That's our goal. We're not going to quit till we got at least 24 conservatives in this state.
Okay. Thanks, Brian. Right.
Thank you, Tim.
Actually, there are, as Brian noted, there are more conservatives, but they're in the West. They're in the East.
Spokane area, that area.
Yeah.
That community you mentioned, Linden, is a wonderful. We used to visit there when we lived in Vancouver. Wonderful, beautiful.
Linden?
Linden's farming community.
We got a great friend that lives in Linden, Washington, and we visited him about 4 or 5 years ago. I've told this story before, but we got our rental car, and we drove from Seattle to Linden. Linden is right on the Canadian border.
That's right.
And driving up there, from what interstate that is.
I-5.
We got to looking around, Allison, my wife and I, and I said, you know what? We're from Mississippi, land of the pine tree, right? I said, we only think we know what trees are. That's what I told my friends when I got back here. I said, I've been to the land of real trees, and there it's not here. Okay. It was amazing. Those towering, you know the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, majestic. I don't know. I don't even know what kind of trees they were, but they were gorgeous. And then they had strawberries and blueberries. They were the blueberry capital of the world there.
Mm-hmm.
Sue Myers is with us. Sue, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
In studio.
Yes.
I asked you to come on, you and your husband. Help me
James.
Out.
James.
James. I met James an hour ago. Sorry, James.
Well, I think she...
Okay, all right.
She kind of hesitated, too. I think you might have stumped her.
It's like, who am I with?
Traveling. You guys listen to AFR?
Yes, all the time.
Every day. Oklahoma. Now, where are y'all from in Oklahoma?
Guthrie, just a town, it was the first capital of Oklahoma. It's just north of Oklahoma City.
And now you guys are traveling the country.
Yes.
In by car, right?
Yes.
Seeing the country. Tell me about your trip so far.
So we left Oklahoma probably 10, 12 days ago, and we went to see the Ark, which was absolutely amazing. I don't know how they built
that.
So
go see the Ark. Right.
Go see the Ark and the Creation Museum.
That's in
Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah.
Williamstown.
Yeah.
And then we went from there to Niagara Falls, which was beautiful. We wanted to see the color change in full color up there. Mm-hmm. Then we traveled. I had never been in the very Northeast. Being in the military, I've lived kind of everywhere in the United States.
Right.
So we drove across upstate New York, which was beautiful, to Maine, Delaware, Connecticut, Massachusetts, came down.
That's Ed's growing up country there.
Right, New England.
Then we went to...
So you went to Boston? Did you go to Boston?
No. Okay. No, didn't want to go there.
You should have gone to Boston.
Yeah, yeah. Where did
the
you go? Where did
was
you go
horrendous.
In
oh, well,
oh,
that's
gosh.
True. That's
Where
true
did
about
you go
all
in New
cities.
England?
Well, we just kind of traveled the country roads through New England and stopped at little cafes and places like that.
That's a good
saw
trip.
The color.
Yes,
that's of course, a being a woodworker, I stopped at a sawmill, got some logs in the Jaguar.
Oh, no.
and then we went to Arlington. which being military, I really wanted to see that.
Arlington, Virginia.
Yes, we saw the changing Pentagon. Of the guard and the unknown soldier.
Oh, the Arlington tomb. National Cemetery.
Got yes, Arlington visited. National yeah. Cemetery and the changing okay. of the guard of the tomb of the unknown soldier. That was amazing.
That is.
I love the military decorum. And then we went to Gettysburg, which I think every senator, every congressman, if you're listening, needs to go read about the Civil War all over again, because the division in our country right now is similar.
Now, you
right.
came south from New York.
From Maine.
And, from Maine. Yeah. You avoided New York too, huh?
No, we didn't. Unfortunately, I hit the wrong button on my GPS and we ended up in New York City.
New yeah. York City.
Oh, gosh. Never again.
But when you went to Arlington National Cemetery, you had to turn around and go back north to go to Gettysburg, right?
Well, we went to Gettysburg first.
First, okay, yeah. okay.
So and then we went to Arlington.
So you Arlington National Cemetery, then where?
And then to D.C.
Okay.
And saw the Supreme Court. And
right.
we didn't get to see the inside the Capitol, but we did get to see around it. The tours right. had already ended by the time we got there, and we were, you know, kind of okay. tired of driving yeah. in traffic.
And then where?
And then we headed to Gatlinburg. And
Were the leaves changing in Gatlinburg?
No, no.
Really?
Maybe it's the up drought. North, New York City, it was full color, beautiful. But as we got down, everything's still pretty green.
Well, I would say in the Southeast, you're not going to get full foliage till late October, early yeah. November.
Well, and you're not going to get the kind of colors you're dealing with in no. New
in
York,
New England.
And because the temperature changes so gradually, mm-hmm. you get a lot yeah. of brown.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and they have a lot of maple trees, the red maple. Yeah. So they yes. have all those reds and oranges and yellows that are so yeah. gorgeous.
So Gatlinburg to here?
Yeah, we saved the best for last.
Ah,
American Family
heart.
Association.
Bless your heart. And, well, it's good to have.
Give them some free popcorn or something before they go.
Oh, yeah.
After
free
that
Obama
kind of compliment.
Popcorn,
yes,
free
right.
Obama
free
popcorn.
Obama corn.
Yeah, I know, we love
free
popcorn.
Free Obama corn, yeah.
yeah.
We gotta,
anyway.
That kind of a nice comment, we got to get them yeah. some free
now, you guys bought you listen to us in Oklahoma every day,
yes.
you say. And
yeah.
Go ahead, you were going to say something.
Oh, I was going to say that I met Tim and Allison on the Holy Land Tour last year.
Right.
Completely amazing. If you get a chance to go, they are the best to go with. And Johnny, their tour guide, is amazing. He knows not only Israel and Christianity, but all the geopolitical. I asked him a lot of yeah. questions on the politics of Israel and stuff. And so American Family Radio and American Family Association, I think, are the best to go with on the Holy Land Tour. And I would love to go back.
Well, maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah. Listen, we got to get her some more free stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Just the popcorn.
I know. Well, I threw her a $10 bill a while ago.
Yeah.
Talk
yeah.
nice
I'm
about
actually going to buy a Learning University t-shirt.
Learning University
yeah.
t-shirt.
Yes. I'm going to buy one of those. So.
Sue, thank but you for sharing
thank
that
you
with
so
us.
Thank you so much. Love seeing you
safe travels
guys.
On back home
yes.
to Oklahoma.
Yes.
James,
thank
good
you.
To have you with us, brother.
Thank you guys for
as
coming.
Well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just one, you just had one car bad. You had one car bad, I mean.
Yes.
What am I trying to say?
Yeah, going 70 plus miles an hour on I-95 in New York City, and I have a bit of a lead foot, so I was in the far left lane, and we lost all power 4 times. And, of course, after the second time, I stayed in the right-hand lane, and we were able to drift over, put the four-ways on, and
got it fixed. Got a mechanic,
and
got it fixed.
She's running great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
So.
Thanks, Sue.
Yeah, thank you, Tim.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Again, safe travels home. So great to meet listeners, especially when they come by the studios here at American Family Radio. And they're going back home to Oklahoma. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Fred. Fred, next story.
You know, one of the things that we draw attention to is the battle going on in this country right now. And it's almost hard to believe that there is a debate over this. Allowing men who say they are transitioning into a woman to use female bathrooms.
Right.
And like I said, it's just hard to believe we're even having that discussion. That's you know, the insanity of all of that. Well, here is another example of how bad it's become in the UK. There are reports now that young girls, elementary school, primary school, they are scared to death to go to the bathrooms in those schools because some guy who says, I identify as a woman today, may come in.
Yeah, now the UK is down the road a little bit from where we're headed
yeah.
in this country,
yeah.
where under President Obama, he had started to move our school system, but he ran out of time. But this is just a preview of what could happen here.
Yeah, but they're getting afraid to even use the washroom, and according to this report, which is in the Western Journal, they're getting bladder infections.
Right.
They're just in such fear. I can't go to the bathroom, and they're getting bladder infections. They're getting ill because they're so afraid to go to the girls' washroom. These are little girls.
Right.
So afraid to go to the girls' washroom because they allow men to go in there.
Some of them are getting dehydrated. I read this article over the weekend. They're getting dehydrated because they're terrified of drinking water because they feel like they'll have to go to the bathroom later in the day, and they don't want to do this.
Let me ask you this, Ed. You studied a lot of the aftermath or the results of the sexual revolution, right?
That
started taking place probably in the 50s and then 60s and 70s, with 50s or earlier with Alfred Kinsey.
Yes, in the 50s.
And then
also Playboy magazine.
Yes,
the pill was invented and approved for use. All that happened in the 50s. And then the public explosion of the sexual revolution in the 60s.
Well, let me ask you this. What is the ultimate, or maybe not ultimate, I don't know if that's right. What is the objective of these people who are pushing the idea of a genderless society? What are they... Why are they doing this?
Well, this is, of course, my opinion, but while the champions of the sexual revolution, which includes now the gender revolution, while they would not put it this way, this is my spiritual take. This is part of the rebellion against God that really was begun by the secular progressives even earlier in the last century. They are, and this is right out of Romans 1, they are rebelling against nature, because whether they know it or not, they are rebelling against God. So you rebel against human sexuality. You rebel against the male-female model of marriage. You rebel against even the clear and obvious factor that God created us male and female. So you instead replace that with hyper-individualism. Every person should get to do what is right in their own eyes. The Bible talks about that as a criticism of Israel. These are folks that say everyone should do what they want, which is why they say they can even declare what gender they are. And we don't have to talk about biology, because biology brings us back to design. Design brings us back to God. And this is part of the rebellion against that we have seen for more than half a century.
You know, and I think it's important, one other thing to note here, this story does not say it's just little girls from conservative families.
Right.
This is what I've said all the way along. You know, liberals may have their liberal politics, but they love their kids.
Yeah.
Why isn't there an uprising in this country, whether it's, you know, liberal politician background, conservative against what they're doing to our kids, this agenda, this homosexual activist, aggressive agenda, what it means for our kids?
Well, I'll tell you, some people may be apathetic. They don't want to get involved in anything anyway. Some people may think it's not going to touch my kids. But there's a third factor, and that is fear. Mm. There are a lot of parents who do not want to run up against this meat grinder where they will be publicly shamed and humiliated and ridiculed, may even have repercussions in their workplace, their job. They don't want to run into that meat grinder, so they keep their mouths shut. That's what I think is
happening. And they'd rather have their kids suffer.
Well, or they try to take them out, or they just try to endure it. But there's a lot of people who have been silenced, and for good reason. You pay a price if you run up against
those activists.
Well,
for an understandable
activists.
Reason.
Yes, true, right.
Not necessarily a good reason, but you can understand the things you just described, which are very real. Look at poor Jack Phillips.
Right.
He just wanted to. What, it's a bakery, right?
Yes.
He just wants
masterpieces.
He just wants
cakes.
To make cakes and run his shop, and they keep harassing
he's
him.
Still
no,
in
you,
court.
Huh? I know.
He's still battling.
No, you have to make a cake for a homosexual wedding. You have to, or we're going to drive you out of business.
Yeah.
You know, that's the live and let live crowd right there, right?
Yes.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. But that is interesting, that story out of the UK. And as Fred said, did we post that? Okay. Brent has posted that story as well. It's a story. It just a friend of mine sent that to me. But it's out of the UK, and it's not politically motivated in any way. It's just a news story saying that young girls in the UK are suffering physical ailments because they don't want to go to the restrooms in their schools that are gender, quote, neutral restrooms.
Right.
Because they don't, you know.
This is why I would say to the geniuses on the secular left, this is why we had separate bathrooms.
For like 6,000 years.
Forever. Yeah. Forever. There's a sense of privacy. Right. Even if you live in a primitive tribe,
right,
boys
sure.
and girls, they at
Everybody
a certain
this.
Age, they don't.
Yeah. And also, but the movement here too is, and this is where the American schools are running into trouble, is that they're letting guys into women's changing rooms and locker rooms who say the dude says, I feel like a girl today, then they have to let them in.
Listen, I mentioned that the UK is down the road somewhat from the United States in advancing this agenda. 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was an article, I had to laugh my head off, but it's sad, where women referees for women's rugby in the UK were quitting because men claiming to be women were demanding the right and receiving the right to play women's rugby, and they were breaking girls' bones in these collisions. And the women referees said, I'm not doing this anymore. This is ridiculous. I had a picture, I showed it to our Sunday school class, of this guy, big, beefy guy, and some poor girl grabbing onto his jersey being dragged down the field. It's insanity.
Well, yeah. How this is going to affect women's sports. So we're already seeing the first of it.
Right.
But I would imagine we would get a reaction. Who knows? We're going to get a reaction from more mainstream women's coaches and commentators and so forth if this creeps even further into
right
women's athletics. Let's say a guy wins Wimbledon, for example.
Well, huh? Martina Navratilova, who's been an out and proud lesbian for decades, a woman's champion in the 70s. Remember, she came out and said men should not be playing women's tennis. And she has been an activist for the lesbian community. She was verbally abused for saying that. But when that day happens and a man wins
Wimbledon?
Women's tennis?
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, Tim with Ed and Fred. Next story, Fred.
Well, just before we go to news, you may not have heard the news on the weekend that the president has reversed course on hosting the next G7 meeting at his golf course club down in Florida. Now, here's what the president said. The reason he was doing this, they could have this facility at cost. He wasn't going to make any profit from it whatsoever. But you'll remember the controversy last week. There we go again, the Trump family trying to benefit from the fact that they have the president in the White House and he wants to use his own property. And so he decided on the weekend we'll have to find somewhere else to have this G7 meeting.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, they need to survey the G7 because they are bummed out today. They thought they were going to Trump Doral in South Florida. Now they're going to Camp David, which is built in the 40s or something like that, huh? And everybody's got their own little cabin.
Yeah.
They got to worry about deer ticks.
With the group showers and restrooms, like summer camp.
Yes.
Huh? So they don't care. The G7 would much rather meet at the Trump hotel there.
Mm-hmm. In Florida.
Yeah. Yep. All right. All right, Fred, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
And Ed and I will be back. We'll be back with Steve Jordahl after this news break. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.